Bro, what's up?
Dude, just watching the dating game.
Right on. Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the number one podcast about treating your mother right in all of Mr. T's neighborhood. I'm your host, Parker, joined as always by co-host Jason Razorbabes Frisbee.
Hello! This week we have a special guest, returning guest of the show, Chris Arneson. Do you want me to say your last name, or should I just say Chris?
Arneson. I'm a regular Christopher guest on this podcast.
There we go, Christopher guest. On the show this week.
First guest.
That's nice wordplay.
I'm doing it!
There's a real guy with that name. That's why it's good wordplay.
Yeah.
How you doing, sir?
He made a movie.
He made a couple, yeah.
A couple good movies. I like them all. I like all those movies.
We're sure he's doing great, but how are you doing this week?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm making, I work at a candle shop now in Chicago. I also live in Chicago now.
What's the candle shop? Can you say?
Waxman Candles, actually. Yeah.
No.
Our own candles there. If anyone who listens to the show lives in Kansas, they also have a store in Kansas.
I was hoping that it would have like a cool punny name like Wax On or Waxing Poetic or something like that.
Well, there's another sub-company in it called Wick This, so that's a pretty good one.
That's a pretty alright one.
Yeah,
pretty sexual, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to open a candle store called Suck My Wick.
You should never do that, though. I mean, that's like the first thing. You're just going to confuse people, Parker.
I'm going to open up a gentler store across the street called, Hey, Get the Wax Out of Your Ears. And I take all your runoff customers who think yours is too rough. I'll be right there.
Well, that'd be great, because it's basically just rug shops in my store on that street, so it's a weird situation.
Oh, so you're in the rug district of Chicago.
Rug district of Chicago, yeah. I mean, when they said that place, I'm forgetting the word now. When they said that place was not very diverse, they meant it. So everyone's got their own little section of that city, and I'm in the rug district.
That's the district where, like, old Russian ladies constantly are beating the dust out of their rugs with sticks. I've been there.
Yeah. That is actually not a euphemism either.
Yeah, it's literal.
It's literal.
Russian ladies hate dust in their rugs.
So do I, to be honest.
They also have very old vaginas.
Well, they're old. You don't get like a new vagina, I think. I guess you could. I guess that is like a thing.
Yeah, well, at my candle store, we sell wax vaginas, so you could use that.
You don't have a candle store. I'm the guy from the candle store, Parker.
Nope. I also have a candle store.
Suck My Wick.
Yep, that's what it's called. And as a matter of fact, right now we're celebrating the grand opening.
You know what? I'm going to open a competing candle store, and it's going to be called Candle Macabre.
That sounds pretty good. What kind of music are you going to play in there? Like, songs about, what kind of songs do you think would go along with that? Because it sounds pretty gothic. A lot of songs about roses and blood.
We're only going to replace the soundtrack to Grim Fandango, the hit PC game by LucasArts.
That sounds pretty good. Any songs about roses or kissing in that soundtrack by chance?
No. I refuse. Unacceptable! God.
Yeah, well, it's been a long time since you've been on the show, which I apologize for. I didn't believe you at first when you said that before we started recording, but I looked online and it was July, and we didn't even air that episode. So now I do feel bad.
We did not air that episode.
I played
World of Warcraft for you, and you never aired it.
that's part of the weirdness of that. When we were trying to figure out why we didn't air it, it may be because we thought we were way too nerdy on that episode, having played World of Warcraft together and recording it. But I still think it's a good episode. We all agreed that it still sounds a good episode. We should release it as its own episode sometime in the future. One from the vaults, as it were.
Yeah.
It could be a Let's Play episode and just put it on YouTube.
That's true. We could do that. Or we could charge people $9.99 for it.
Oh brother.
Yeah, I like that episode a lot. But I feel that people who have not played Warcraft for 10,000 hours may not like that episode a lot.
No. They just have to skip over it. They'll have to be Chris appointed for 1 week.
Chris appointed?
Yeah.
Is that your own word?
Yeah, it's when I'm disappointed.
I
disappoint someone else. And I'm on that episode, so if people are disappointed with it, they are Chris appointed with it.
I've had so many nicknames in my life based around my last name, and I've never had an adjective or a descriptor or anything like that. I mean, it's always been just a nickname. It's never been like its own word. Like, no one's ever like, oh, we just got frisbeed, or I can't really form that with anything clever. I'm at a loss right now.
I actually tell people that they've been frisbeed.
When do you say that?
Well, I say it to my wife when she lets me come on her tits. You got frisbeed, wife.
No.
You got Jason frisbeed.
And how does she feel about me?
She puts in earplugs when we do sexual stuff. She doesn't want to have any, and like she wears a mask, like one of those eye masks that you sleep with.
Oh, this sounds awful.
She likes to pretend I'm not involved.
You sound like you have the worst sex in the world.
Yeah. Okay. And like, we've also got like a Kid Rock poster on our ceiling. It just helps.
And you display that Queen song or Seal, one of the two.
Yeah. Every now and again, she's like, oh, American badass.
I'll put my fingers in the air. Which is a song.
That's the only place they're going.
So. Yeah.
We haven't played the fingers in the air song for a long time, which is your song, your theme song for when you're reading emails. But we've ignored all the emails for like 2 months.
Oh, wow. Yeah, this is true. We have. We keep begging people to send in emails. Blake keeps on sending us emails, and for some reason, we're not reading those.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? Also, it's reached over to Junk Food Dinner because we forgot to read Blake's email to Junk Food Dinner this week, too. Nothing against Blake Sell. I love him. And he celebrated his birthday. Happy birthday, Blake Sell. But,
indeed. Happy birthdays again.
We've been forgetting about these emails. We're terrible. And your brother's written in like 8 times in the last month, too. And we keep forgetting about those.
He mentioned the Sharon Needles new track. Well, that was a post on the Facebook page.
Yeah, which is going to be your new theme song, but I didn't cut it together.
I haven't heard it. I don't know if it's any good.
That's pretty hot.
All right.
I was too busy cutting together pieces of the new Paul Scheer podcast because they mentioned pool parties. So now I have all these drops where people talk about pool parties.
That's great. Oh, yeah. By the way, in the Saved by the Bell last recap episode we did with Rhea from the Badland Girls a few episodes back, check those out. There's an episode in there where they talk about pool parties, and we totally dropped the ball on that one.
Oh.
There's one where they're like, oh, we should go to the pool party. Yeah, it's hot, man. Let's go to the pool party.
Wow.
So we have to get we need that drop of Slater, whoever's saying that. Obviously, Zach coming in and saying that he's late because he was trying to help some duck that was hurt. That's fucking irreplaceable. We need to... You did the right thing by getting on that first, obviously.
Yeah, that took precedence. Also, we've got this.
Someone's been getting stoned in the bathroom.
Oh, great.
I love that, aw, great, from Slater.
That was
like, gee whiz.
Yeah, like it's ruining
his day. Oh, shucks.
Anyway, if you want to email us, hopefully we won't ignore it, do that at poolpartyradio@gmail.com. But on to more important stuff. Last week, we ran into a snafu. We did a Good, the Bad, and the Ugly about sequels. Greg and I thought we were doing sequels of 2013. Frisbee thought we were doing sequels of every
all
other
time.
Year. Yeah, of all time. So we ended up doing the 2013 ones. But now we're going to do a Good, the Bad, and the Ugly of all-time sequels. If you're new to the show, for some reason, this is a thing we do where we give good examples, bad examples, and ugly examples of the thing that we're talking about. And that thing is sequels. So, Chris, you being our guest, I would implore you, I'm going to beg you to give us your good example of a part two. This is just part twos, by the way, of a movie.
Okay. I thought about this for a while, to be honest. And I'm going to go with Aliens. Because I'm a big Ridley Scott fan, and I saw Prometheus, and I was a little disappointed in it. But but I love the movie Aliens, because it's like the first movie is like just amazing, and it's such a different movie than the second one. But like, it's just incredible that Cameron was able to like take something and just like kind of like put a whole different spin on that universe. Like, it was like not just one on one. It was like a whole like combat of Marines and all these other characters, and it had Bill Paxton, which is incredible, with one of his best lines ever, "Game over, man." I love that movie, and I think it is one of the greatest sequels ever made, because it was actually different. It wasn't like one of those. It was one of those things like Hangover 2 tries to. It was just the same movie over again. Or like Austin Powers, the second Austin Powers movie was just the same movie and the same jokes.
Well, there goes my first pick and my alternate pick, so...
Oh, no! No, I'm sorry!
No, just kidding. Go on. I'm enjoying this.
Good?
No, it's not.
It's so good.
You're all good. I was making a joke. I was just making a joke.
I know, it's a comedy joke.
It's a humor joke.
Humor bit. But I love Aliens. It is good. You know what? It is great. I wish there was a good... a bad and the ugly, but there's not.
Yeah, this movie, Aliens, I'm not the biggest Aliens or Alien fan, I guess, but one thing that Aliens does, and that I was going to talk about here in a moment, and it's the number one rule of a sequel, is you have to take the things that are good, and rather than trying to just do them again, and rather than adding more things to that, like a lot of sequels do, you just have to do those things times 10. And Aliens is probably the best example of that, because, you know, in Alien, you've got the one, alien, and in Aliens, as the title may imply, there are way more of them, and, that's really what you need to do in a sequel.
Yeah, and it has a newt in it, and a cat, so.
Yeah, which, didn't they have a cat in the first one?
I believe so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's probably why I don't like Aliens too much, is because... they do the one thing right, and then they add more aliens. But other than that, it is kind of just a remake of the first one, in that there's that cat. It has the same exact, like, shot for shot, same exact ending, which is lame. But I don't mean to crap on your good example. I'm very sorry.
It's a great example.
What's your good, Parker?
Well, there are a lot of good sequels out there. I realize.
No, there's not.
I think there are. I was actually going through lists of, like, the worst sequels, and all these many people were crapping on a bunch of the sequels that I love, so... And I really couldn't think of many bad ones, as we'll get to. I'm a man that loves franchises, and I love sequels. And there are a lot of good ones, like Crank 2, obviously, is very good. Warlock 2, Weekend at Bernie's 2, Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. Those are all great ones. I'm not going to pick any of those, and if you are, Mr. Frisbee, I apologize for stepping on your toes.
Yep, you're good.
I'm going to pick one that I should have picked last week, actually, or a variation thereof, because it has another sequel coming out this year, and that's Before Sunset. It's one of my favorite Richard Linklater movies, and it's superior to the first one, I feel. And it's just basically two people talking for like an hour and a half, but it takes place in real time, which I think is awesome when movies do that, and I love it. I'm an old softy here.
That's Ethan Hawke and Julie Dupree.
Delpy.
Delpy? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still haven't seen any of these films, and I consider myself to be like a Linklater nut, but obviously I'm not, since these are like his kind of hallmark films that everybody knows and loves. I mean, and when I say he loves, I'm not saying the general, like, oh, it's a mainstream success. I mean, people are in love with these films. Like, mm-hmm. When you talk about it, you talk about marrying these films. Yeah. In some illegal ceremony in Mexico or something. I still haven't seen these. I've seen Slacker. I've seen Days of Confused. I've seen Bernie. I've seen... Blah, blah, blah. one of the other, what was it? Waking Life. And, you know, it's, these are the ones I have not seen. And they seem really out of place for, well, I guess for how many conversations take place in his other films. Like, his other films kind of have a wandering eye and goes from conversation to conversation to conversation. Even Days of Confused kind of does that. Bernie is probably one of the most straight stories that he has. But these, it's just like it's a conversation between this pair, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. And that's basically it. They just walk around and talk. It's great. It reminds me of the olden days in, like, high school and stuff where it would be Saturday, and I would just get together with a friend or two, and we would just walk for, like, 8 hours and talk until it was time to go home. And I like that a lot. And, yeah, I never saw these movies until about 2 years ago, despite being a huge Linklater fan. And I love them. I wish that I would have seen them when they first came out, though, because, you know, the second one takes place and was filmed, like, 7 years later. And so it would have been cool to actually wait that real-life length of time before finding out what happened. And then same with this next one. But what are you going to do? I don't have a time machine, Mr. Frisbee.
I do. Surprise! Time Frisbee. My good is Spider-Man 2, which I know is probably obvious, you knowing me, Parker.
You love Chris knowing
Spider-Mans. Me. I do love these Spider-Mans. And despite Avengers being probably the best comic book superhero movie to exist, I still think that Spider-Man 2 is probably the best translation of a comic book to screen. And what I mean is that the look, the action, even the dialogue and just framing, everything about it looks like a comic book being brought to life on a screen. And that includes all, like, the corny, hokey aspects, the over-dramatization, the difference in scale of villain to hero, and even how Spider-Man looks in the film, like when he gets more tattered and all that kind of stuff, in his motion and how he swings through New York. But Avengers, obviously, the best superhero film there is. Like, you have all these great superheroes and the way they interact with each other, it's really well done. You get the best of the Hulk, you get the best of Thor, and the best of Iron Man, and they collaborate and do this great superhero action-y thing. But I think that the Spider-Man 2 film is still the most like a comic book, like one of the old school, you know, 60s to 80s Spider-Man comic books.
Did you actually know, have you kept up with the Spider-Man the comic at all?
No, like after I was into the Spider-Man storylines up until, like, the clone sagas. I never...
Those are really bad. This is pretty bad, what I'm about to tell you, though. In issue 700, which was, like, about a month ago or so, okay, basically what happened, a few issues before that, Dr. Octavius switched minds with Peter Parker and was in Peter Parker's body while Peter Parker was trapped in a dying Dr. Octavius body. Who was, like, riddled, I guess he had cancer or something, and he was like a few days from death. And in issue 700, Peter dies inside of Dr. Ock's body, and now it is Doc Ock, who is Spider-Man currently. And, I mean, this is obviously something that's not going to last forever. They just wanted to, like, write a different story for a little bit. But, like, it got a lot of really negative feedback online, as you might imagine, because it's kind of a ridiculous storyline.
Yeah, I've not heard about this, and I wish I hadn't, because it sounds terrible.
There you go.
Yeah, the Spider-Man stories got real weird, even after that that reorganization with, what, Scarlet Witch. She ended up reorganizing everything and putting it all back together. Like, she has that control over the universe. So she flipped out and then put everything back together again.
And
then retelling this, like, they spent all this fucking time with the Spider-Man comic and keeping the franchise going, that, like, Peter and Mary Jane had gotten married in that series, and then because of this flux in space and the universe with the Scarlet Witch, they're like, okay, well, we want to appeal to younger readers, so we'll just have them as, like, a couple that's living together. Just make it cooler and hipper or whatever. It's like, just end it. I mean, end this horse. Like, kill it. It is done.
They did end that because It was like the Save Aunt May or something. He got Madame Web to send him back in time or something. So him and Mary Jane weren't married anymore.
Right.
And then what else? Actually, if you Ultimate Spider-Man's pretty good, and it's been by the same guy's been writing it this whole time. This Brian Bendis guy who's pretty big in Marvel, and they actually killed Peter in it a few months, maybe a year ago now, and they brought some other kid in to be a different type of Spider-Man. But I heard it's actually pretty good. I don't know. Did you see the new Spider-Man movie actually?
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah,
but I still think Raimi really hit the mark with that second one between Spider-Man and Dr. Octavius. It just has a very classic look to it. A lot of the frame shots, of Octavius scaling that building, it just looks like a comic panel from when I was reading Spider-Man comics as a kid.
Joel McHale's in it as the evil bank guy.
Bank guy one?
He denies them a loan in the bank right before he gets robbed.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah.
I bet he does it really snarkily. I have to go back and watch that again.
You should actually check out Red Letter Media does. I think they do a review on the Spider-Man trilogy, all together. They talk about storytelling problems in it and stuff. I mean, it's interesting. I like Spider-Man too. The guy they got to play Doc Ock was awesome. I mean, but I'm excited to see what they can do with the rebooted franchise. I just heard that they got Paul Giamatti maybe to come in as Rhino in the second part of it.
Weird.
I've heard a lot of really weird things with that. I might be wrong. It might be a different... That's the guy from Sopranos, right?
No, Paul Giamatti is... you think of...
Guy from Sideways, aren't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, Paul Giamatti is the guy from Sideways.
I think I meant the guy from Sopranos.
No, you meant Paul Giamatti. He's going to be in the movie, and people are speculating that it'll be as Rhino, but nobody knows for sure.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It makes sense if it was the other guy. That guy from True Romance and stuff. What's his name? Yeah.
James Gandolfini.
That's right. Wow, that was not the same name at all.
No, I've ruined this. I've ruined this conversation. Any credibility I have as a movie buff is gone.
It was a very Italian sounding name, which is better than I would have done. I was going to say Paul Sorvino, but that's not the same either. So
I'd actually love to see Paul Giamatti come in as the wino. That's super villain powers are just all wine induced.
Now that's a very smart joke.
Yeah.
That is the smartest joke of all jokes.
What is your bad movie, Chris Harnison?
My bad movie. I thought about this for a long time. Just like the other one, I thought about it. Because I had to go back in time and remember a time in my life where I really wanted something to be really good, and it wasn't. It just didn't live up to potential. And it tied between two different things, but I'm just going to say Jurassic Park 2, The Lost World, was just so Chris appointing.
Vince Vaughn, did it impress you? Vince Vaughn, did it Chris press you?
I forgot that he was in it! Oh, God! It was just boring. I read the book and it didn't really feel like that at all. I don't know. I don't even remember. I can't remember if the stories ever matched up or anything, but.
Yeah. No, they start out sort of similar where it's we have to go back to this island and study animals. And, that's basically what they do in the book. But in the movie, somehow a T-Rex lands in San Diego and wreaks havoc. And that sounds fucking awesome, but they do it real stupid. There's a scene where T-Rex is stumbling down the street and a group of Japanese businessmen are looking into the sky and talking about a tyrant lizard coming for them, and it's real hokey and stupid and Godzilla-y. Yeah.
I remember I was 13 when it came out, and I was so excited, went to the movie, and was just blown away with how disappointed I was by it.
Yeah, that's a movie that I hate a lot because there's a little girl who uses her gymnast powers to beat up velociraptors. And
that sounds legit. I think that's legit, right?
Yeah, maybe it is. I don't know. That's what I hate about Steven Spielberg when he does these fucking Jurassic Park movies. He adds a bunch of little kids, and they live, even though all predators are biologically designed for the last 5
billion years to kill the children first and to do it as viciously as possible because they're easy pickings. But no, in Steven Spielberg's world, these velociraptors, they always get beat by the plucky young children using mirrors to escape certain doom.
I would go easy on it because maybe, like the first draft, that girl conquers the velociraptor by giving it a hug. That's probably what happened.
A T-Rex dies and then she cries and her tears like resurrected.
Yeah, the tears make it good. They turn the vicious running on instinct predator from evil to good. And it doesn't want to eat them anymore. It just wants to eat vegetables.
Yeah, knowing Steven Spielberg, that's probably how he had it planned out.
No, it was just one of those things where it was like it was bigger. Like it was bigger than the last movie. They're like, it's a sequel, it has to be bigger, it has to be better. And then they just kind of lost sight of everything. It was like Jurassic Park was just kind of a simple premise. Like people go to an island where dinosaurs are being used for some sort of theme park ride. Somebody ruins the whole thing and it becomes this like adventure of escaping. This other one was just like, let's go get some dinosaurs and bring them back to LA so like some wacky shit can happen. And then this wasn't, I just was thoroughly bummed out by it to this day.
And from like, like a writing point of view, the people who go in the first one, they go under the guise of like, you know, well, they're not told that they're going to be dinosaurs for one. And also, once they do find out there's dinosaurs, you know, they're like, oh, you know, it's an amusement park. We got fences and everything. Everybody's safe. And then crazy things happen. But in the second one, everybody goes there knowing full well that there are dinosaurs and there are no fences. And they're there, a lot of the people are there to hunt the dinosaurs. So when the dinosaurs start killing people, you're like, yeah, that's what you get. Like, at no point do you feel any sympathy for the people who have gone there to hunt the dinosaurs when the dinosaurs start killing them.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know.
That's a pretty bad sequel. What's your bad sequel, Parker?
I've got Halloween 2. And this works well, because it works for both movies called Halloween 2. The Rob Zombie one sucks, the original one sucks.
I was just listening to these on Rotten Rantings, actually. They discussed both these films. I don't think I've seen either of them, but what are your reasons for not liking these?
Well, the second one's just abysmal for every reason that they mention on Rotten Rantings. Rob Zombie is not very good at making movies. But mostly I'm going to focus on the original one here, because I grew up thinking this movie was cool, even though I hadn't seen it since I was like 10, and we watched it on Halloween on Junk Food Dinner, where you can go to junkfooddinner.com and buy a Junk Food Dinner t-shirt right now, as a matter of fact. And, man, this movie stinks. John Carpenter, who made the first one, and it's a brilliant classic, he didn't want anything to do with a sequel. He told his story, he wanted to move on, but the studios were like, maybe you should just produce it, and we'll throw large sums of money at you. And he was like, okay. And some other jack-off made the movie, who was not good at making movies. And, you know, sequels, like I said, have to be, you gotta, you know, do it times 10 in order to succeed. And this guy, you know, especially horror sequels, and this guy basically just did the same thing where, you know, it's a lot of tension and a lot of meandering until you get to, like, a final scary scene. Which works when you have a guy like John Carpenter doing it, but when you have a guy who, like, did pretty much nothing else in his entire career and sucked at making movies, it doesn't really work. And it especially doesn't work because this movie is supposed to take place immediately after part one, and he says in interviews that the movie is designed for you to watch the two back-to-back. And so if you watch the first one, and you get to this climax, this bloody climax, or violent, not so much bloody, I guess, you can't just reset and then go from, you know, building tension to climax to building tension again to climax. It just doesn't work. And so it's very boring and very redundant. And Jamie Lee Curtis is barely even in it because she didn't want to be involved either. John Carpenter, despite not wanting to direct it, he had to direct some scenes to try to save it. He directed a few, like, murder scenes that they inserted later to try to make it bloody enough for people to not walk out in the middle of it. And it's just an awful movie.
That sounds like the saddest thing in the world. Like,
I've actually never seen either of these movies, too.
And John Carpenter and Jamie Lee Curtis expressing that they don't want to be involved with it, that they don't want this to happen. That's like a family that's being forced to stick together when they know that they shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
It's real terrible. It's like, mommy and daddy, we don't want to do this, but you kids are getting through college. I swear to God, come hell or high water. And I am not laying this family down. We're going to build this tension.
We're going to build all the tension in the world. And it's going to amount to nothing.
I've actually never seen the sequels of those movies.
That's for the best.
I tried watching, what was it, Halloween 3, The Witch?
That's a good one.
I was real, real goofed up on milk and cookies that night. If you catch my drift, a wink.
I know what you're
saying. Wonk. This was over Christmas break, or Christmas time, when I was visiting Blake.
Blake Sell.
And Blake Sell, yeah. And he decided to pop in Halloween 3. It was like, I got super excited because I was super whacked out on milk and cookies. And I remember just singing along to the commercial jingle, and then I passed out. That was it.
That's understandable. That's the one thing to take away from that movie is the jingle.
Yeah, how's it go?
I don't want to talk about it because it'll get in my head for the next 4 years, like it always does.
Four-leaf clover. That's it. You said 4 years. 8 more days till Halloween, Halloween, oh, Halloween. 8 more days till Halloween, four-leaf clover. Right? Is that it? Four-leaf clover.
You got to get this song in my head now. Yeah, I cannot listen to, like, horror movie podcasts at all in October because I know they're going to play that song nonstop.
It's good stuff.
They're going to play Kiss from a Rose nonstop?
Yep. I don't know why, but they do it.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, speaking of terrible Batman sequels and their soundtracks, hoink, I picked Batman Returns as my bad. Some people actually like this film. I never understood why. I remember seeing this film as a kid and being extremely disappointed, maybe because I was just still riding the high of Tim Burton's Batman 1, and the performance from Jack Nicholson and that, and the Prince soundtrack. Nothing really stands out about Batman Returns. My memories of this movie, before I tried to sit down and rewatch it again, were just that Danny DeVito looked like a Richard Gorey character, or some sort of gothic butler, and he just ate fish a lot. And that was it.
That's actually what gothic butlers did, so that's how you go.
Did you see fish heads? Okay, well, he was spot on in his caricature.
It was great. Michelle Pfeiffer, she's perfect in it.
But I can't remember as what or what for, though. People tell me that she's perfect, and I tried watching it again, and...
She's perfect in that she, like, looks very sexy in a cat suit.
Okay.
Better than Halle Berry. I mean, that movie was woof.
That's true.
But Anne Hathaway takes the cake. Even though that movie sucked, she was sexual.
I actually saw... I was working at a movie theater when Catwoman came out. Not to sidetrack your frisbee.
Oh, no, this is a Halle Berry movie, one that you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. The Catwoman Halle Berry movie with Sharon Stone as the villain. As a villain who is a part of a makeup corporation or something.
Okay.
And then she has cat powers in it that she gets from like a sphinx or some other bullshit, which makes
sense.
She poops
in people's shoes or something, or what?
She gets like cat powers, you know, like cat eye powers and stuff, and she can flip around. And
well, that's what happens in the Tim Burton one. She gets cat powers, supernatural cat powers.
She doesn't have like cat eyes or anything. And her costume was a lot cooler. It was a lot cooler than Halle Berry's.
She gets 9 lives, though. It's basically the same crap.
Is that part of the end where Christopher Walken shoots her a bunch of times, and she's like, 8, 7, 6.
Yeah. It's goofy.
That part's insane to me. And even Christopher Walken can't save that movie, which pains me to say. Like, he saved that movie, what was it, Ping Pong or something?
Oh, yeah, Yeah, that movie about ping pong. I forget the name of it. Balls of Fire or something?
Balls of Fire, yeah. He actually saved that one to be like a little bit funny. But I keep forgetting he's in Batman Returns, because that's how forgettable he is to me in this one.
Yeah.
Also, in that movie, here's a little fact for you. Billy Dee Williams is in it, and he's supposed to be Harvey Dent. I don't know if they actually ever, like, name him, but he was planning on doing the third movie where Billy Dee Williams was Two-Face.
Yeah, he's in the first one, right?
Yeah, he's in both of them. Or at least the first one. As Harvey
they
Dent.
Name him as Harvey Dent.
Yeah.
Or was it the first one they did that in? I thought it was the second one. Anyway,
may be in the second. Well, Parker says he's in the second one. In the first one, they definitely name him as Harvey Dent. Like, he's on the courthouse steps or something, and he's making this public PR speech about Batman or the Joker or one of them or both of them.
Yeah, he's for sure in the first one. I don't remember the second one.
I thought he was in the second one. Like, I thought he was, like, right before the clown showed up. He was at, like, some park or something in the streets, but I could be wrong.
That's possible.
I haven't seen the first one in a long time, so I probably should rewatch that.
Yeah, it is absurd, though, that the Penguin has henchmen that are dressed up as clowns.
That's what also throws me off, because when you see clowns in a Batman movie, you get all excited because you're like, oh, Joker henchmen, this is going to be rad. But then you realize Joker wasn't on the poster. Joker died in the first movie. The Penguin is using Joker henchmen. It's kind of a weird, frugal economy that he has.
It's because he was part of the circus, though, right?
I think that's what they were trying to play off. Like, he was the freak in the circus.
That's what they try to do, but it's dumb. And when they get rid of his circus henchmen, they add his new henchmen, penguins with rocket launchers, which is probably the worst thing to ever happen in a superhero movie. And I say that having seen the Roger Corman Fantastic Four movie like 3 times.
Oh, boy, oh, brother.
But yeah, that's my bad.
Understand.
Batman Returns.
It's a good choice.
What's your ugly?
I respect your decision. I respect your decision.
Thank you. It's my right to choose.
Nice.
That's
Frisbee's right to choose.
You are now tuned into the Pod Awful channel. PodAwful.net.
My ugly?
Yes.
My ugly is Die Hard 2. A movie that is underappreciated for its genius. And I say that because Die Hard 4 is terrible. Especially when you see it in theaters. It was PG-13, and it's at the end of it, he gets the gun to his chest, and he goes, Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon, or whatever he says to him, and then shoots him in the chest. There's an unrated version of that movie where it's layered in curse words, and it's awesome. It is a better movie when he cusses. I gotta say that. But I like the second one. I don't think that it's not too ridiculous. Like, the new Die Hard movie looks like bananas. And then, like, the fourth one had, like, a lot of parkour guys in it and stuff, because everyone was throwing parkour stuff and everything. And I just thought it was good. It was simple. It had Alan in it, first of all, because you gotta have Alan in it. Or a friendly, or another black character who was awesome, you know, like Sam Jackson in the third movie. It needs a villain that you actually hate, because the fourth, and like a plot that actually like seems like it makes a little bit of sense, because the fourth movie is like, we hacked the internets. Oh no, the whole internets. And now we just also happen to be in the same area as you, so you can still stop us.
But I agree with you in picking two as like a highly underappreciated film. And it also has what I think is probably the most devious villain, because he's always like 5 steps ahead of McClane or anybody. Whereas, I mean, the first one, the movie is a classic, obviously. Yeah. It's great. And Hans Gruber, excellent. Alan Rickman is awesome in that role. But he's just got that... And that's what makes the movie so good, is that he's got that one goal to... Did you say Kickstarter? Is he trying to steal, like, Kickstarter money out of that building?
Yeah, he's starting a Kickstarter to get into the bank. That's how they got all the equipment for it.
Oh, no! How will amateur filmmakers make their horror movies now?
That's what he was trying to do. He was trying to make a horror film by stealing that Kickstarter money.
And... he was going to make a good Halloween 2, Parker.
Well, I applaud him.
But it's... It's a great film for how condensed it is. It's like he's going to go into a tower. John McClane's in that tower. All the action takes place in this tower. It'll be awesome. The second one takes it out of that and, you know, puts it in an airport, first of all, and then just explodes out into great expanse. And it's that villain is just such a creep. Like, the first thing you see him doing in the film, this isn't even like 2 minutes in, the guy's doing naked judo in his room, and you get like a face full of his butt. It's real strange.
Awesome
and,
villain.
Yeah.
He's menacing. He's like, I like villains that are menacing. You don't get that a lot. It's like when they neutered Darth Vader in the Star Wars films by making 3 more Star Wars films where you later learn that Darth Vader is an idiot.
Well, he did kill a lot of children, though.
You mean younglings. If you're going to say it, you're going to say it right, Parker. He killed younglings.
He killed bottles of weird beer.
He did. 99 bottles and 98.
Younglings. Nice. The funny thing about younglings or yinglings is that back in our hometown of Dayton, Ohio, people would not shut up about getting that beer installed as part of the expanse of Yingling's territory. Like, they wanted Yingling for years and years. Like, oh man, I just had Yingling. I want Yingling. Now they have Yingling. Want it gone. They hate it.
Mm-hmm.
They think it's played out.
Of course.
Isn't that adorable?
That's Dayton. That's how Dayton works. That is a perfect metaphor for all of Dayton and how it works.
That is some hipster nonsense.
They want, yeah, exactly. We want so badly to be cool. Fuck this. This shit was never cool.
Mm-hmm.
I just liked it because it was cheap. Good, cheap beer.
It is good, cheap beer. That's where the big problem is. Anyway, those younglings in Star Wars really got it.
My ugly.
Yeah, what's your ugly, buddy?
It's a movie I've never seen, and I'm opposed to for many reasons. It's a sequel to one of my favorite movies, which is based on my absolute favorite book. It's called American Psycho Part 2. And in it, it's the story of a girl who escaped being murdered by the yuppie serial killer Patrick Bateman. And I think he dies in the movie. And then so she escapes being murdered by him. And then she herself becomes a serial killer. This is absurd because if, you know, you've ever seen American Psycho, Patrick Bateman kills 0 people. And he just pretends to be a serial killer. Also, Mia Kunis is in it, who is like the cutest possible girl and in no way a serial killer. But maybe that's what they were trying to do. I don't know. Like I said, I've never seen it. William Shatner's in it as well, and he's not the mark of quality when it comes to films. I also never saw this because one time my girlfriend cheated on me, and the guy she cheated on me with, she went to go see this movie with him. So I'm opposed to this on just very many levels. Have you guys seen this movie? Can you back me up on this?
No, but... Oh, you've seen it.
Oh, it's bad.
Oh, tell me more.
As Parker mentioned before, the premise of the whole movie doesn't make any sense. It's just like watching another really bad movie with a bunch of cute girls in it. The whole premise of the movie that there's cute ladies in it. It's Baby Doll? No, it's... what's that stupid movie called? Damn, I would say Zach Braff, the guy that's doing the Superman movie. I edit all this out. Zach Wilde's Baby Doll, the super movie. No, it's, Sucker Punch. Oh God, I hate that movie. These movies are actually the same movie, I'm pretty sure, because the premise of the whole movie is negated by logic. Like, it doesn't have any reason to exist at all, because there's no reason to have a plot. There's no reason for the movie to exist, because American Psycho 2 no girl ever escaped that, because he never did any of those things. That's the whole point of the end of the movie, is that you never actually have to, they never, like, come into contact with each other. It's all, like, a dream. And I gotta explain the rest of this now. Just like in Sucker Punch, everything they accomplish in that movie is in a dream world that doesn't exist. So all the action.
Spoiler alert!
Yeah. Sorry.
No, it's fine. No one cares enough to see that film, so you're not spoiling anything.
Well, no, they do those things. They are pretending to be in a dream world so that they can get the power, like, within themselves to actually do those things in real life.
I didn't catch any of that at all.
Well, that's what it's about.
When I don't think anyone have it. They get to the end of the movie and she just dies. She died, and there was an unnecessary amount of rape in that movie.
That's the whole point. They're being raped this whole time, so they have to escape being raped. And while they're being raped, they're pretending that they're fighting orcs and dragons because that's cooler than being raped.
And they do that through she's able to bring everyone into the dream world with her sexy dancing.
They're all being raped, so they're all dreaming about the same things.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, I don't
just
know what
like,
to tell
just
you.
Like American Psycho 2 doesn't make any sense.
I'll agree there. American Psycho 2 makes no sense.
No
Sucker
sense
Sucker Punch,
at all.
Perfect sense.
Perfect sense, apparently. I will not agree with that.
I didn't bother to watch Sucker Punch. I thought no one liked that movie. I thought it looked awesome in one preview, and then everybody said it's terrible. Except for Parker, who's now saying that it's good.
I love it. Everybody else hates it.
Okay, 95% of people hate this film.
95%. 96%, as a matter of fact.
96% okay. Of people. That actually sounds right. It probably has a 4% like positive review on Rotten Tomatoes.
Probably.
My ugly is Waxworks 2. And I've never seen the first installment of this movie series, Waxworks. But you get like the last few minutes of that film at the beginning of Waxworks 2. Waxworks 2 pulls in, like, what, around 2 hours long? Or no, it's like an hour and 40 minutes. It's a very long horror film. And it tries to do a ton of shit. Have either of you seen this film?
I've seen the first, and I know a lot about the second. People tell me it's good. We get requests for it on the Junk Food Dinner program.
It is nutty. It's really, really wacky stuff. And I remember my only memory of this as a kid was my older brother having seen it at a friend's house over a weekend and telling me that Bruce Campbell was in it and the crazy shit that happens to Bruce Campbell. Like Bruce Campbell's character in the film has his chest exposed as some sort of torture ritual. And during this fight scene where this girl's like trying to throw stuff at the villain, the torturer in the scene, she keeps throwing all this stuff that goes past the villain. The villain keeps dodging it and it lands in Bruce Campbell's exposed chest. And it gets ridiculous. It's like broken glass. What else? Like kerosene or alcohol. Alcohol is one of it. And then the last thing she throws is just this bag that's labeled Bag O' Salt. And I thought he was joking, but going back to the film, it's really that cartoony. She holds up a bag that says Bag O' Salt, tries to throw it at this villain, and hits Bruce Campbell in his exposed ribcage. So it's wacky stuff, and most of the film is like that. And it plays on different tropes and genres in film. Like that particular scene is some sort of like Scooby-Doo / 50s B-movie horror film. Black and white film sort of thing. And they keep jumping between these different horror types and genres. It really tries to do a ton of stuff. And that's the reason I had it as my ugly is because I watched it for the first time recently and just thought it was so unusual. As Blake described it, it is wild and free, which I thought was pretty accurate.
I like that. Yeah, I like the first one a lot. It's real... you know, it's got a, like, big meta vibe to it. It's about this crazy haunted wax museum and, well, not so much haunted, but it's about a wax museum and all the wax monsters are real monsters. So it plays on a lot of tropes of different, genres of monsters and stuff. And it's got one of the coolest looking werewolves in, any movie, if I remember correctly.
I gotta see this film.
It's pretty weird. It's on Netflix Instant right now. Right now! So we need to stop this and go watch that really quick.
Pause Let's go this do podcast. That. This would be a good time to go do that. Pause this podcast, go watch that movie, because right now is the time for the lightning round, so you will not have missed the end of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, because it's over.
And now, it's time
for the lightning round.
First up on the lightning round, a young girl by the name of Tammy Jackson, a 13-year-old daughter, excuse me, start over, rewind, and we're back. A school suggests that a 13-year-old girl gets breast reduction surgery in order to ward off bullying. The story itself is pretty humdrum, but I thought it was really great about this was the interview. Did you guys watch the interview?
I did not.
I did not either. Oh, man.
The mom describes this as a terrible situation and said that the school suggested that her daughter should get her boobs reduced because she'll always get made fun of for having big boobs. That's verbatim. She says those lines exactly.
That's what the mom says?
The mom says, her daughter's got big boobs. I haven't heard anybody say boobs, well, except for you, Parker, for about like 10, 15 years.
Well, I see no better way of saying boobs.
Or just breasts.
What do you call them?
Yeah.
You call them breasts?
McFun bags. I don't know. I call them breasts, yeah. It's woman's breasts.
A woman's boobs.
Madam, I would like to see your breast, please.
Mm-hmm, I'm Jason Frisbee. I've got a monocle.
Well, say if you had a daughter, would you say, hey, my daughter's got big boobs, to your friends or to your associates or during, like, a news interview?
Well, no, I wouldn't call them anything because I wouldn't be a creep on the news talking about my daughter's breasts.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what's so weird about it. And she says that, like, the school's trying to blame her, and I was with her on that point, and then she said, or God, and I wasn't quite with her on that point. Forgiving
God's
her daughter.
Trying to blame her? Or she's trying to blame God for giving her big boobs?
She's saying that the school is insinuating that God is at fault here for giving her daughter big boobs. She only called them boobs. This is somebody's parent on the news, and this is online.
I would be more amused if she called them fun bags.
He said my daughter's fun bags are too big. She will always be bullied for these fun bags.
Yeah.
She's got some big wahas.
My daughter is being picked on because of her tiggle bitties. How can we help her today? Yeah, this is absurd. Like, the school seconded this motion, right? Like, the school suggested she get her boobs removed?
That's what I'm saying, is that, like, she called the school about this bullying problem, and the school says, maybe she should get those boobs removed. And so I don't know if she followed through on it. Does anybody know if she followed
through?
Probably
was a teacher. There's no way that, like, a representative of the school, like the principal or vice principal, was like, yeah, she should probably just get her boobs, like, you know, reduced or something.
I think that's what happened, right? You've got the story, Mr. Frisbee. Who from the school said this?
Well,
it was probably the creepy old janitor.
I was from Georgia, so yeah.
Let's see.
95% of Georgians care about boobs, Chris Arneson is saying. He's making a sweeping generalization there.
Well, the Riverview Gardens superintendent said, Clive Coleman, he stated and suspects that this, what the school said, is a product of miscommunication, interpretation, or information. Meanwhile, the students are being counseled on ways to resolve the bullying problem. But that just sounds like some, he's just sweeping that under the rug right there.
She doesn't actually say who says that her daughter has tiggled bitties and is getting made fun of for them and needs a reduction of tiggled bitties. It says, when she called the Riverview Gardens School District to complain about the problem, the woman on the other end said the girl could be transferred to another school from Central Middle School or go under the knife for a surgery. So, and it doesn't say, like, who the other person was, so... There's no name. In the interview, she says that there's a switchboard. Like, somebody has a switchboard that patches her through. Like, old school,
like, Mad Men style switchboard?
Yeah, like, hold on a second, Mrs. J. I'm gonna connect you to our principal. About your daughter's huge boobs.
a huge boobs.
This is silly that the two answers they've come up with for this is to remove the boobs, which no doctor will do. I've listened to enough Loveline to know that doctors pretty much won't remove boobs until you're, like, done growing your boobs and not when you're 13. And or to just move away to a different town completely. Like, or you could, like, try the other option, which is to just tough it out until you're, like, 15 and then be the most popular girl in the world. Because nobody's going to, like, you're at the age where people make fun of you for having boobs and stuff. But in 2 years, people are going to be obsessed with you and in love with you because you have huge boobs. This is not a problem that lasts forever.
Well, that's a mixed message. That's a mixed messages right there, Parker.
How so? I'm saying that this girl needs to tough it out and be awesome soon.
I don't know. I don't know if she'd be able to appreciate something like that if, you know, it's the 2 years. It's like 2 years of being, like, of just bad 2 years of being bullied every day, and all of a sudden it completely changes.
Well, I'm not saying she should succumb and all of a sudden embrace these people who made fun of her, but I'm saying she will, like, this is not a problem. This is not, like, the sort of problem where, like, I've got three arms. Like, you're not going to be made fun of forever. Like, this is a very temporary deformity you have.
Oh, this is all making sense now. I think this story is just a PR stunt by the girl's mom, because the way she was name-dropping, well, not name-dropping, but the way that she kept tossing around the word boobs, she was trying to get the attention of young dudes and young ladies who might be interested. That's why she was saying that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you're Googling boobs on the internet, this broad's going to pop up, and then the mom is going to set you up with an arranged marriage.
Yeah, I doubt that she called the school at all. She's just making up that story because they can't. Who's going to be working a switchboard at a school like that? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. The way she said switchboard really threw me off.
This is Georgia we're talking about here. You don't have things that are different there.
It's like 40 years in the past.
It is. Everything but Atlanta and Savannah.
Sweeping generalizations here, you guys. Come on, get real.
95% of Georgia is stuck in the past.
Get real. I do think that this is shockingly sexist, as if your son, who had a big nose, was being picked on, no school switchboard operator would go, just lop the thing off. Get rid of that. But
I don't think that's the same thing, Parker.
It's absolutely the same thing. Because it's a girl, just mutilate this girl so that people stop picking on her. But if it was a boy, no way they would be like, just lop whatever it is that they're making fun of. Your kid wears glasses, lop them off. Your kid's got three arms, lop it off. Big nose, lop it off. Ugly, lop it off. But with a girl, they kindly say, just mutilate the girl.
Let's try the opposite end of this, then, with our next story. Fat shaming may curb obesity, says a bioethicist.
Yeah, this bioethicist who graduated with a PhD from Duh University.
Is that what the name of the university was? Duh University?
Mm-hmm. He got his bachelor's at Nodoy University. Yeah, this is obvious. If you're fat and people go up to you and they go, hey man, you're fat, stop being so fat, then you're probably going to try hard to not be fat.
Or kill yourself.
One of the two. Either way, you're going to stop being fat.
I'm going to stop intaking food.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is insane. This is obvious. People these days, when it comes to fat people, they go, they can't help it. Just let them be who they are, the beautiful the way they are. You know, there's nothing wrong with being fat. No, there's something wrong with being fat because it kills you. And I don't understand why people don't know about that these days.
It's
not such a bad thing.
Has anyone here been fat-shamed before?
Well, I know you haven't, Frisbee, with your muscular body, your toned core.
Hey, quit muscular shaming me, Parker. I don't need to feel bad about the way I look.
Sorry.
I have pretty hairy legs. People used to make fun of that.
Did you lop them off?
No.
Didn't think that you would be made to, you being a male. That's your male privilege. That's your male privilege coming out, that nobody made you lop off your legs because they were hairy.
Are you seriously one of those male... Did I not know this? Have I known you for so long and never realized that you were a male sympathizer?
What is a male sympathizer?
Oh, there's a whole community of, like, of guys that think that they don't... Well, of white... Usually, I've never seen... I've always seen this white guys bit by this stuff, but this white guys with fedoras, of course, because that's their outfit.
I think,
and t-shirt.
I think you're confusing male sympathizers with 40s detectives.
No, I'm not confusing them because I'm just talking about bronies and just the guys that think that they're not being represented enough, and that all these people are trying to take away their rights. Like,
honest about, I was being sarcastic. I was saying that if nobody made you lop off your hairy legs the way that they would want to lop off that 13-year-old girl's boobs.
Oh, I did. They said I should shave my legs, but I never did that.
Whoa.
Yeah.
All right. I guess it wasn't sexist after all. They wanted to mutilate your body, too.
They did. They wanted to mutilate my body.
So, basically, right now I'm finding that I'm on a podcast with two gentle sirs who have great-looking legs. I feel like I'm out of the loop here. I mean, I have an amazing body. That's already been established.
Your core is great. Really muscular.
You're shaming me for my core. When I say shame, I mean you're embarrassing me.
I'm sorry.
Please stop it. But you said last week that you had great legs, and sounds like Chris has great legs. I do not have great-looking legs. I've inherited wobbly Scottish, like walking on rocks and grass legs, and that's what I have to deal with.
Well, yeah.
Everything above my thighs looks amazing. Core, all that stuff. It's ridiculous. My neck is about 20 inches thick. It's amazing my voice sounds like this, considering that. And yeah, you guys have the one thing that I lack.
Well, when this podcast is turned into a chorus line of leggy rockets,
I'm still wearing pants. Yeah, that's the problem.
You're gonna have to cover your shame.
You wear pants to bed, don't you?
Yep, you guessed
it. Pants in the shower.
Yeah, shower time is a very weird time for me because it's fully clothed from the waist down to hide my shame.
Now I have a question for you.
Yes.
Do you have to special order your pants swimming trunks?
No, I just call those track pants, but whatever.
Or you just wear like jean shorts that come like 3/4 of the way down.
Nope, gotta go longer than that. If I wear those, I have to wear like knee-high socks.
Even the last 25% of your legs are sucky.
These are my jean shorts. They're also known as jean pants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I call my jean pants. It's they're extra long jean shorts.
Yeah, going back to the story, this is the one thing we do this for. Like the one disease that kills like tons of people that people just go, they're fine. That's the way they look. They're great. Like if you came home with liver cancer one day, nobody would be like, oh, you're beautiful the way you are. The people without liver cancer, they're the weird ones. You're gorgeous. Keep on doing what you're doing.
I
agree with that. I believe I've heard that argument before too. But I mean, I think people just need motivation. I don't think that you're doing a very Always Sunny in Philadelphia attack mode sort of thing right now, where you attack the problem.
You have to attack all the problems.
That's the best idea.
You can't beat a problem unless you attack it.
in a mob rush, mm-hmm. all hurling insults. I think that there's like a very passive method of this going on in this country, where it's like shows like The Biggest Loser and fat jokes on any comedy. I haven't seen Mike and Molly, but Mike and Molly is just about like an overweight couple, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure being on CBS that it's a mile a minute of laughs and yuck-em-ups.
After years of King of Queens, after years of King of Queens and America being upset that a fat guy married a not fat girl, we finally got our fat guy, fat girl show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe that's the problem is the... I don't know. I mean, the problem is obesity being a problem, right?
Yeah, I'm not
getting behind that.
I'm not saying we should grab our baseball bats and go attack fat people, but we shouldn't. We should definitely stop. And I guess this is geared towards Tumblr. We should definitely like stop pretending that like being enormously morbidly overweight is like just fine. That's the way you are. Don't worry about it. You're all good. That's your body type. Your body type is diabetes type.
Okay. Like, all right. Bad. I was wondering where this was coming from because, like, I know some pretty snarky people, and I'm realizing that any of these snarky people aren't on Tumblr, and that's where you're finding these voices from. That makes more sense to me.
Yeah, there's a lot of Tumblr where it's about, oh, yeah, it's fine that I'm fat. It's, like, not even unhealthy. Like, I've seen people argue that being fat is not unhealthy, which is fucking absurd.
It's really bizarre to me.
Yeah, but that's where we're at.
It's, like, 95% of Tumblr.
Yeah.
That's where Tumblr's at, from my perspective. Me and Tumblr, we don't get along so well. We don't get along so good. What about you, Chris? Do you tumble?
Is that I a do. Thing? 700 followers, mostly bots.
It sounds like my Twitter account, except way more successful than my Twitter account.
I just opened my Twitter account again. But anyway, my girlfriend also tumbles, and she has like a blog where she just posts ridiculous stuff, a lot like what Parker does, actually. Less wrestling things on hers.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. But But I post, I have a Tumblr, is what my girlfriend refers to it as, fan fiction art Tumblr. Where,
sounds like I would love it.
Yeah, where it's like, yeah, Chris, I love that picture of Hawkeye as Doctor Who, because that's all you ever post are pictures of that.
Oh, what's your Tumblr, by the way? Might as well shout it out now.
It is Making Noise Loud.
All one word?
One word. So, tumblr.com/makingnoiseloud. I only ever got... Wait, am I wrong there? No, it's Making Noise, right? I forget. Look at Tumblr. Shit. Oh, yeah, it's Making Noise Loud. It's makingnoiseloud.tumblr.com. I forgot how the way it went was, but I don't use it often anymore. I just go on there and I'll just reblog stuff because I follow a lot of different artists or people that do pop art and stuff. And a friend of mine, actually named Justin, who has a really successful Tumblr called Rampage Reality, which is just rampagereality.com. He actually, I think you know him actually in real life.
I don't know.
Justin Page or Justin Rampage now. He's a friend with, Jesse's.
And I'll deal with you nerds later.
Sorry.
I'm getting too nerdy talking about Tumblr and real life.
I'm sorry,
people.
But he got a job, he just had a Tumblr and he did other stuff, you know, other adult things. And he works for, he's a writer for Lapping Squid now, which is pretty cool.
I thought you were going to say he's a professional Tumblr, but that is kind of being a professional Tumblr though, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I'm doing somersaults full time.
Full time.
Backward rolls, tiger rolls,
side rolls,
Philadelphia rolls, rainbow rolls. Hand rolls. Sushi rolls.
I've been doing a lot of cinnamon rolls myself.
Wah, wah, wah. I'm going to shame you to hell and back.
That's fine with me. If I ever get too fat, feel free to shame me.
I'm going to glaze that stomach of yours. You're going to get frisbeed.
When is fat too fat, though?
For me, fat being too fat is 300 pounds. That's when I started losing weight. And that was 50 pounds ago.
My God!
So once you get to 300 pounds, people, you're too fat. That's the cutoff. I don't care if you're 5'2" or 11 feet tall.
How much did your hero Muhammad Ali weigh at his peak?
I don't know, but okay. He was a heavyweight, so probably, I don't know, 225, something like that. I'm guessing.
Yeah, okay. That sounds all right.
Yeah, which doesn't sound like a heavyweight, I guess. But... You guys like that song?
Well, I do like that song.
Yeah. I thought you might. Well, all right. Well, that's the lightning round. It's a short lightning round. Only two stories this week because we've got to make room for this next segment. A couple of weeks
ago. Totally original concepts.
Totally original content here. A couple of weeks ago. The Kissing Contest guys at kissingcontest.com, good podcast bros of ours, they ripped off the Junk Food Dinner Show and did a Junk Food Dinner Show where they talked about three movies. They each picked a movie, the things that we do on Junk Food Dinner. And I really wanted to copy them and do a movie hostage, which is a thing they do on their show on Junk Food Dinner. But we plan our Junk Food Dinner shows like 8 months in advance. And by the time we got to it, it would no longer be fresh. So I decided that we would do it over here. But I also remembered that I watch way too many movies. So we're going to do a little thing we like to call TV Hostage.
TV Hostage. I pick three movies that you've never seen.
Right.
And you pick three movies that I've never seen. And we force each other to watch at least one of them. And if you don't watch them, you get shot in the face.
TV Hostage.
And this is the thing.
Right.
This is a thing where Mr. Frisbee is going to pick three TV shows that he wants me to watch, and I'll pick the one I want to watch the most, and then I'll pick three for him, and he'll pick one out of those three, and then he'll watch them. And if you don't watch them, you get shot in the face. And
it's it's a modest proposal.
Very modest. And we're doing, if it's an hour-long TV show, we're doing one episode, and if it's a half-hour long, we're doing two episodes.
This is true.
Which I'm sad about, because there was one I like really wanted to do, like so much. I wanted to do the first episode of Sliders for you, because it's where they go to an alternate dimension, and it's a dimension where the English won the Revolutionary War, so America is under English rule, and I thought that would be so great, and I thought that you would love it so much, but it was a two-part episode, so I was disqualified.
Well, nothing can make me prouder and happier other than that, than to present to you my selections for TV Hostage. Are you ready, sir?
No way. No way. Get real.
Prepare yourself, my old chap, tally-ho, because here it comes. First up, and you'll see a theme here, is the In-Betweeners. Not the MTV one, but the British broadcast one from 2008.
Yeah, I figured that this would work out for you, because you tell me a lot of times shows I should watch, and I'm, like, just a jerk, so I never get around to watching them. So I figured you would like this, that you could actually make me watch one of the shows that you constantly suggest to me.
I'm so excited for this. Yeah. The In-Betweeners, according to IMDb.com, which our synopses are going to come from, the exploits of four friends who are socially only marginally above what one of them calls, quote, the freaks, are presented as they grow from their late teen years into adults, and as they go on their quest, usually unsuccessfully, for such grown-up things as beer and sex. To expand on this a bit more, we follow the narrative of Simon, who's a painfully nerdy prep school removed kid, as he joins three close friends in public school who are public school kids who don't really give a shit about prep school or school in general. So I think the narration is great. I think the storytelling is very funny. I picked out a pair of episodes that I think display some excellent humor in it. And it's a good show. If you like situation comedies or anything like that, and lots of swearing, lots and lots of swearing. It's very high school dialogue if you went to high school in England. But
I like swearing. So far, this is the one I like the most.
Next up, and this is kind of going back, you may have already seen this one as a kid, but Count Duckula.
I did not, but I remember him being on. I watched a lot of Danger Mouse, and I think Count Duckula was like the same people.
It was. It was from Thames Animation Production Studio. Count Duckula was actually a villain in one of the Danger Mouse episodes, but became so cultly popular that he got his own series that was even more insanely popular than Danger Mouse. IMDb describes it as the misadventures of a vegetarian vampire duck and his servants. And that's not exactly why I picked this for you. I mean, it's got that kind of groovy ghoulies aspect to it, which I thought you might like.
I do like that.
But this show is full of puns. Ooh. And Count Duckula's hair looks like the hair that you had when I first met you. It's like short black and parted down the middle or side.
That's how I did it.
Yeah, you look like Count Duckula quite a great deal if you wore a cape.
Also, I have that large bill for a mouth.
Yeah, yeah, which I've never made fun of you for and never told you to get surgery off of it. So.
Because we don't live in a sexist society towards me.
Towards duck bills.
That's my male privilege, that you don't suggest I mangle my bill for your pleasure.
I want to live in a society where people are only sexist to you, Parker.
I think that would be great.
It would be awesome. Take it really well, first of all.
I would. People would constantly, do sex. I don't know what they would do, I guess.
Like, guys would walk up to you on the street and just, like, throw their dick out at you, and you'd be like, thank you.
Yeah. They would, criticize me more than the other people that were running for president.
Really would, yeah.
I would just imagine you walking in the street and just constantly going, woohoo, thank you very much, but please don't touch me. And that'd be it. So much.
No, you can't buy me a drink.
You can buy me two.
I would gladly accept your drinks.
You can buy me a meatball sub.
So Count Duckula is number two. And number three... And this is where we get into the sudden circle of hell. It's Downton Abbey from season one.
Oh my god.
And
is that on Netflix?
It is on Netflix and on PBS.com, which I know you visit frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And on Hulu, I think.
Probably, but that's more new season stuff. I picked out an episode from the first season where somebody dies. And that was about the most metal thing I could find in the show. IMDb.com describes this as beginning the years leading up to World War One. The drama centers on the Crawley family and their servants. And Crawley. I thought that was a name that you could enjoy. The it creators include Julian Fellows.
Julian Fellows is a cool name.
It sounds like Julian Sands. So I submit to you these three. Have you seen any of these or are familiar with any of these?
I have not. And you want me to watch a specific Downton Abbey episode or just the first one?
I've pre-picked episodes for you to watch for all of these.
Okay.
And if you want to submit for a wild card, I have a wild card that's way out there. Chris can be our studio audience on this one. What do you think so far, Chris?
Ah, I like it.
No way. Get real.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to go with Downton Abbey, because I think it's the one that I'm going to like the least, and it sounds the most British.
Oh, bizarre. I still encourage you to watch In-Betweeners.
You almost had me on the In-Betweeners, but I'm afraid, like, I know that I'll probably hate Downton Abbey, but I'm afraid that I would like In-Betweeners, and I don't want to come on here like, man, these British are great. They're so dope. I love them. So I'm going to avoid that if at all possible.
Haven't you ever seen Garth Marenghi's Dark Place?
No. No, I have not, because I'm not a molester.
Oh, shit. Oh. We should have picked that one instead.
I don't
Garth
know.
Garth Marenghi's Dark Place
it's a parody. It's a parody of Stephen King. But good luck on Downtown Arby's.
Yeah.
Man, I would love to do it.
I'm not saying like, oh, my girlfriend's a girl, so she doesn't even like it since she's a lady and she has the parts to like it. Now, I'm not saying like that. I'm just saying that she really likes to catch up on TV and stuff. That's a show that she was not able to get into at all. And I have a lot of friends that are the same way, where they're not really able to get into Downtown Arby's.
I would like to make a show about that Downtown Arby's that's like by the Neon Movies in Dayton.
Matt Walsh was in a parody of it.
Yeah.
Season two I never got into. I tried watching that one. It gets real Harlequin romance novel-y. It gets pretty dumb. This first one, though, it's pretty dry, but it looks great and should be kind of interesting, especially the episode I picked up for you.
All right, and you think I'll be able to...
It's got some good established shots.
Will I be able to follow it not being the first episode?
Yeah, you'll follow it.
All right, it's settled. For you, Mr. Frisbee, I've got three things. The first thing being, They Came from Outer Space. This is a program from the 90s. It stars Dean Cameron, who's in a bunch of junk food dinner movies. You may know him as the 80s guy with the big eyebrows. The synopsis is two teenage aliens, Abe and Bo, travel to the United States in a red sports car in an effort to pick up chicks and learn more about life.
I've seen this.
Have you actually seen this.
They're the twins who can feel each other's sensations.
I don't know. I've never seen it. I want to see it, but I was going to make you watch it first. All right. Well, I have an alternate. It's called Vampire High. It's a Canadian TV series centered on a group of young vampires who are subjected to a daring experiment by the elders.
Okay.
Where they have to go to school as teenagers. It came out in 2001.
All right.
There's that. Then we have Dead at 21, which is one of my favorite shows ever. It's an MTV show from the 90s. Ed would like to be a normal teenager. Unfortunately, he was used for an intelligence-enhancing research and is extremely smart as a consequence. Equally unfortunate, as the chemicals used to make him smart will make him die on his 21st birthday unless he finds the cure.
I remember that one, but I don't remember the episode details, so I'll leave that
those
in.
Last two sound great. I want to play this game.
You can play along.
All right.
You'll have to watch the Downtown Arby's.
I will watch Downtown Arby's. I will get a beef and cheddar, and I will cheddar through it.
And the final one. This is actually two half-hour shows
but they have a similar theme, so they kind of go together. I hope that's not cheating.
Well, I'll hear you out. What is it?
Yeah. The first episode is The Littlest Hobo, episode 7, called Target for Terror. The Littlest Hobo is a dog who wanders from town to town in Canada. Two political radicals abduct a judge's son and his girlfriend. Fortunately for them, the littlest hobo's ingenuity is brought to bear on the kidnappers. And to go along with that is the pilot for a TV show from 1990 called Puchinsky, where a talking bulldog at a policeman's feet turns out to be the reincarnated late partner he had.
Okay. Okay. I could see some lines going like, Puchinsky, you're flying off the handle. And then he just says something like, every dog has its day, chief. Gets a pretty good laugh. I feel like I know where that one's headed. Then you had Vampire Teens, Vampire High.
Sexy vampires. I'm assuming they're sexy. They're Canadian, so maybe they're not.
Well, the other one is Dead at 21. I do remember some of that show. Not as well as I remember they came from outer space, but
There's a lot of Alice in Chains on the soundtrack.
Yeah, I anticipate that. When you said it's from the 90s.
Mm-hmm. It is from the 90s.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Vampire High.
Vampire High!
That's not even. I approve.
That's the one that's not from the 90s.
Well, that's not the problem either. The dog one seemed kind of disjointed.
I just wanted to play my drop.
What's your drop?
You know what drop I'm talking about. But yeah, that's fine. I've not watched any Vampire High, but I do know that it's about vampires that go to high school.
And this is before all that Twilight stuff, right? So
yeah, 2000 it came out, and it's Canadian, and it's on Netflix.
I like all those things.
I'm going to check that out.
I like Canadian things, Netflix.
Yeah. All right.
Well, Parker, I really hope you find Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. If you want, I can send it to you.
That would be great. Yeah, I had this other show that I was like so excited for you to do, but then I read about it, and it turns out it's like this really good show, and it's called Vampire Prosecutor from Korea.
Oh.
Where this guy is a sexy vampire lawyer. But everybody said like the show was like a really like genuinely good show. So I was like, well, I only wanted to do it if it was stupid.
Wait, wasn't that a show that called Angel? Like
a... Kind of, yeah.
That sounds like a fake show they'd have on 30 Rock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Apparently in Korea, they really care about prosecutors a lot because there's also a show that I found called Princess Prosecutor about a prosecutor who's a princess.
That sounds like Sailor Moon all grown up.
Yeah, maybe next time we do this, I'll give you just a theme of all different kinds of lawyers.
It's amazing.
Prostitute, prosecutor.
Prostitute, prosecutor. She's on both sides of the law.
It's 2013, and we're all concerned about the Illuminati. Are you a lizard person? Do you need to cover up your hideous scales or possibly gills? Why not try one of our junk food dinner shirts from Hide the Bodies? We're gonna find all those triangles you put in your video. I guarantee it.
That's the end. How do you guys feel about this episode? Do you think this episode was too crazy?
It's a bit crazy, yeah.
I will say though that pool party was not too crazy.
All right, that's my new favorite.
No, it wasn't too crazy.
They would all be at the pool party for sure.
That sounds good.
Yeah, we were all at the pool party today.
Warm accolades.
Yeah, so thanks Chris for being on the show, and
thank you so much for inviting me.
We will post this one for sure.
Thank you.
And we will not wait 8 months for you to be on again.
Oh, yeah, I would love that.
So you're on Tumblr. Go ahead.
Got a Tumblr. If you want to find me on Tumblrs and look at Doctor Who X-Men, it's makingnoiseloud.tumblr.com. Or you can find me on Twitter now, and it is, I think Jason might get a kick out of this, but I changed it now. It is, my Twitter handle is @notchrisarmison. like Fred Armisen.
I see. I see what you did there.
You would mistake it. You would mistake. You were like, hey, you were like, there's a guy on SNL. Your name, but it wasn't. It was Fred Armisen. And now he does Portlandia, so it's pretty cool.
It's a good show.
I like it. It's wacky and fun.
Yeah, speaking of good shows, me and Frisbee are going to be on the Rotten Ranting show next week. I'm not sure when it'll be on. Like, sometime between now and Valentine's Day it'll be on. And we're going to be talking about just the ghouliest movies on Earth. Human Centipede and what else is there? August Underground. Movies that are too ghouly for me, much less this nice man here. I'm just so worried for you, Mr. Frisbee.
I've already watched all of these. I watched them immediately after it was offered, to be honest. The other movie is Flowers of Flesh and Blood from Japan.
Yeah, I'm going to be watching them all tomorrow.
You're in one sitting.
In one sitting, because that's how I do with the ghouliest movies.
All right.
Yep. But yeah, so we're going to be on there, so check that out. It's at RottenRantings.com. And those guys are super cool, and they were on the show a couple of weeks ago. Also, I think me and Jesse P.S. from the Pod Awful show, which I'm sure you're familiar with, we will be doing an Awful Flicks this weekend, but I'm not sure what movie we're going to do. If you have an idea for a movie, email it to us at poolpartyradio@gmail.com, or let us know on Facebook at facebook.com/poolpartyradio, or on the Pod Awful group that I don't know the URL to. Just search on there. Or go to our Facebook page, as there's links to it and stuff. And also go to our iTunes and subscribe to the show. Give us some 5-star ratings and reviews, if you
check out.
Mind.
All right.
Yeah.
Check out the new Let's Play Pool Party Radio World of Warcraft Season 1 coming soon.
For $9.99. I guess that's about it. Oh, also, the Badland girls are super cool. They talked about the junk food dinner shirt a lot on their new episode. And it was great. They made it sound like a real enticing shirt.
I need to buy this fucking shirt.
I agree with you. Girls are talking about this shirt, for God's sake, man. Girls!
Man.
So, thanks to them. That was super cool. And I wasn't going to buy one at first. But after hearing them talk about it, now I'm going to be honest.
They made it sound very sexual.
They did.
It was very attractive.
That episode gave me a boner. A boner I still have to this very day.
I was going to say, a boner which you can cleverly hide with your junk food dinner shirt. That's another use for it. You could just throw it right over.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, no, I've got a pickle under this shirt. I just want to keep
less
it
of
safe
a shirt
and dry.
And more of a Swiss Army shirt, is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Less of a shirt, more of a boner hider. Hide your bonus.
They also gave us the celebrity couple name of Frizz Bowman.
Is that right? When was that? When did that happen? Was that same episode?
That was a Sergio Leone episode. That was their Django episode.
Oh, I haven't caught that one. I'm so behind on like every podcast. I've been listening to like Howard Stern a lot lately. So I've been missing out on my podcasts. I got to get in there.
Well, like they dubbed us Frizz Bowman.
I like it.
That means I'm on top.
As you would be.
All right.
Because you can hold me down with your strong body.
My one muscular arm.
Yeah. This conversation's giving me a boner.
You need that junk food dinner shirt stat.
Mm-hmm.
Dish. And that's thanks to hidethebodies.com.
Yeah.
Sorry, htbkicksass.com. Hidethebodies. Yeah.
Those guys are beautiful, and thanks to them. This shirt will hide your boner. I guarantee it.
Hide the boners.
HideTheBoners.com.
Look at this shirt right now.
It's a good shirt. It's at junkfooddinner.com. So I guess that's everything. So this is Parker for Chris, Jason Razorbabes Frisbee, and the absent Muhammad this week saying thanks for having fun. Engage! Engage! Out of all the fire steel, like that death to death.
pool party?
Yes.